This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
He looked strong at the end of the season. I think he is super underrated. He had, not the greatest start last year. Everyone crapped on him, and no one paid attention at the end because they just wrote him off and said he's not good. He finished the season really well. So I'm excited about Najee coming into this year. I know he's going to be the number one most used weapon in the Steelers offense. So he's a firm RB2 to me here.
We have almost the same guys in our top 24 in different groupings. There is one change. I have Javonte Williams at 24. You do not. You have him at 26. But this actually wasn't going to be really about Javonte Williams. It's about this next player who has obviously moved up ranks from a season perspective, but for week one, it's still kind of tough to manage. Jerome Ford. You have Jerome Ford at 24. I have him at 26, so we're not that far apart, but you have established him as a RB2 over Zamir White, over Javonte Williams. But they're going up against the Dallas Cowboys, so I'm dying to hear your take on it. I'm not out or anything like that. Frankly, these last couple drafts, the last couple days, I was talking with my buddy Dennis Sidler, who's doing a draft, and I'm like, we got to get Jerome Ford. And he's like, he just went, because Ford looks like he is going to have a much more established role for longer as Nick Chubb is going to be returning, which, by the way, hats up to you. You were always the one that, like, I don't know if we're going to get him before week eight. And now, like, with what the news came out alluding to, he's not going to come off the pup, it doesn't look like, anytime soon. And you might get a lot more Jerome Ford. But what makes you confident about Ford against the Dallas Cowboys right out the gate?
Yeah, it's not even that I'm confident in Ford. It's that I don't like the two guys that are ahead of him so much here in Javonte and Zamir. Like, Zamir, I know everyone is excited. Maybe he gets massive usage against the Chargers here. That could happen. I don't know. Amir Abdullah is still going to mix in. They don't really like Zamir on passing downs. And Dylan Lobby played well in that in the preseason. So we'll have to see what the real usage is, not the preseason usage there. And Javonte, with that backfield, I still think Javonte is the best. Obviously, him being cut was just nonsense speak, right? But I don't know. Jaleel's still there. I think Jaleel and Javonte were pretty 50-50 last year in terms of skill. And Audric Estime is a short yardage guy. So how is that going to mix up? Plus, if they're getting stomped because Bo Nix sucks, is it going to matter, right? Like, is it just going to be Seattle overwhelms this team? Which, you haven't said that about Seattle in a long time. So it's less about Jerome Ford, although I do like him with, the Cleveland offense, because this is a run first offense. They have Foreman, though. They have Strong. They have other pieces. But I think it's just that I'm a little lower on those other guys. Not so much that I love Ford.
To give you some credit on here too, take it for whatever it's worth, and want to give a shout out to PFF. We have a PFF subscription. We pay for it, so don't want to be giving out all their stuff. But we're going to highlight things. Go get your own subscription, suckers. But on their projections for week one, Jerome Ford is projected the eighth most rushing yards of any RB. It's nothing to speak of. And I think they're also pretty timid rankings. Right, like the highest back is McCaffrey at 83 yards. But Jerome Ford is over 60 yards rushing projected, which again, that is the eighth most, and a handful of essentially right at like the 75 total yard marker. It's just, will they score touchdowns?
And but, I like Ford, but I think Zamir and Javonte are both better running backs. It's just the usage. I'm curious about the usage.
We got some of the same names again. We have this really interesting thing that ends up happening. We both have Gus Edwards at 31. So we're kind of in this flex RB area. I think your early flex RBs to RB2s are still that, you know, Ramondre, Najee, Zamir White's kind of in that territory. Tony Pollard, I like. DeAndre Swift even kind of. But we both have Gus Edwards at 31. I decided to do this. I went not to hedge too much, but I have Dobbins at 32. You have Dobbins down at 38. You're going to roll your eyes. Report came out today that was talking about, hey, by the way, cannot express how explosive J.K. Dobbins looked. Here's my take from it. I really do think Dobbins is going to be the yards guy, but I am confident that Gus Edwards is going to be the goal line guy, that when they get within the five, they're handing it to Gus Edwards. That's why I love a touchdown call from him. It's going to be one of my bets this week. It's like 260 plus 260 for a Gus Edwards rushing touchdown. I do think Dobbins is going to be the fuller back. So I really think both of these guys can be flexed. I think you're going to probably see Gus in the low carries with a touchdown. And I think Dobbins is going to be the obvious guy out of the backfield. So I think they're both flex options. This isn't really to pick on you not having Dobbins as a flex. I don't think that actually matters. It's more about, I'm curious at your take on Gus Edwards, because you're confident enough for Gus Edwards at 31.
Yeah, I mean, he worked with the OC. Why can't I think of his name? Greg Roman. He worked with the OC last year. So I don't know. Dobbins was there last year too, but he was hurt all year. I have between all 8 million of my leagues, I have one share of Dobbins, and it's because you picked him in our best ball. So it's like a split share too.
Yeah, so that's true.
I don't have any pieces of this backfield at all whatsoever, really anywhere between Edwards and Dobbins. I may have one other share in a, you know, best ball league somewhere.
I have like one Gus Edwards share, and then I think I have like 14 to 24 J.K. Dobbins shares.
Yeah, I just don't know how this is going to break up. I don't trust Dobbins to stay healthy at all. So I don't know. I'll pick no Chargers in DFS this week unless one of the wideouts is really cheap, because I know they're favored, but I think they're probably going to lose the Raiders. We'll see.
We've also got Chuba Hubbard in this territory. Zach Moss just made it for both of us as well. I've got him at 34. You have him at 36, number one on the depth chart. But coming in, another just random one, both at 35, Rico Dowdle. I think we've been pretty like locked in about this.
I feel like a coward at 35. I feel like I want to move him up higher.
I agree with you. When I stare at my list, I think a man's man would put him around 29 above DeAndre Swift. And, you know, like a bro, we might put him above Zamir White, but I don't know if I'm a bro.
No, I think I could get him. I think I could get him to 31. Like I could put him a spot ahead of Gus Edwards with no issue, but I'm not putting him ahead of Swift, Singletary, Pollard, Brian Robinson, any of those guys.
But listen, there's risk involved. You saw me and Erickson did a live stream, a monster live stream. I've never seen Erickson just being like, I just don't want to deal with it. Bogman, you'll do that with me sometimes. You're just like, yeah, that's fine. Anything you can say is great. But Erickson was just like, I don't care. Like, nothing wants me to start Rico Dowdle. And to be fair, I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, this is my favorite prop of the week and I've done it and maybe I'll just eat it. But the market is telling a different story. Rico, his rushing yard prop was 26.5 last night. So obviously there isn't this great big hope of it. I think that's a wild number, so I'm immediately betting it for the guy that could be the one. But there is a path where they say all this stuff. Oh, he could be a three-down back. Ifs and buts and candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. And then all of a sudden, Elliott gets 15 carries and Dowdle gets 4 with a couple catches. It's possible, but I'm willing to take the risk. So I think that's why this encompasses some of the risk. But I like him as a flex option. He's a top 35 back for me, and that's why I've got Rico there, and you have the same number.
Yeah, and the thing is with Rico is like, I don't think he's a special back. I don't think he's very good, right? I think he's fine. He's a bit of a plotter, I would say, but he can run between the tackles. He can get it done for you. But Zeke is old. He looked old last year. Deuce Vaughn is too small, obviously. They didn't like what they saw from Royce Freeman. Dalvin Cook's on the practice squad. Like, who is running this ball? Is it Dak every time? Somebody has to run it. So I think it's just by default in touches. I think Rico sees a ton. So the real solution is whoever the Cowboys draft next year. But we got to go through a year of sifting through this nonsense. So we'll see. I'm my bets are on Rico to start.
Outside of the top 36, as we're going to end out running back here, I just wanted to point this out. I asked this question to the boys on the Fantasy Pros show, and Pat immediately jumped in. I said, who's your favorite back outside the top 36? And he said, Jaleel McLaughlin. This is another weird one. We just somehow both have Jaleel McLaughlin at 40. We have him outside of there. The Seattle matchup looks pretty fun. We know he's going to have some usage. We just don't know what that's going to end up looking like.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league.
Wide receiver ranks, let's get to it. Obviously, not sitting at home in the top 12 like there's anything crazy to do. I will point out, I am differing from the consensus out there. I know you can see it. You've got Tyreek Hill as the number one wide receiver this week. That is what ECR is. Give me Justin Jefferson. Lane Jefferson, gonna eat. You know me, I'm big team Justin Jefferson. I got Tyreek at 2. You have Amon-Ra at 2 with Jefferson at 3, and I have Amon-Ra. So we have the same top 3. Both of us, ironically, I did not realize this was going to happen. We both buried CD to 4. Buried. Well, we put CD to 4. But I thought I was going to be one of the few that did that. I moved Garrett Wilson up to 5 going up against the San Francisco 49ers. That is their biggest weakness always, is the secondary and separation. Garrett Wilson, also one of those good separation receivers. A.J. Brown, Mike Evans, Cooper Kupp, and Puka I have at 8 and 9, and Devontae at 10. You've got A.J. at 5, Garrett, Mike Evans, Puka, Devontae, Jalen Waddle. So our big difference is I have Cooper Kupp in there and you have Jalen Waddle in the top 10. Not sure if there's anything to discuss in there. Maybe, you know, do you the Cooper Kupp thing was another like really debatable thing that's going to happen. Puka has the really great matchup this week. I think Cooper Kupp is going to get established right out the gates. You're in, I think, higher than like the consensus on Cooper Kupp. Anything to add?
No, I just, you know, again, I think they're going to be down and playing catch up. So, all hands on deck here for the Rams.
Coming in the wide receiver 2 range, we've got a similar group. I have you have Marvin Harrison at 12. I have him at 13. We've got like Olave, Nico Collins is in there. And let's stop at 15 and 16. You're 15, my 16, Deebo Samuel with my San Francisco 49ers. We both agree. We're going to piggyback in here a Brandon Ayuk conversation. Brandon Ayuk has an ECR of 24. And I've got him at 25. You've got him at 31. And Pat on the show was like, I have him at, he said he has him at 28 and he wants to get him lower. We're all kind of in this same boat. A, because he's been away from the team. And B, there's this little debate that goes out there with people on who is Gardner going to cover. It was brought up that the Jets do have, I think, what's like 3 crazy high rated
they have a good secondary.
Really great very good secondary.
They just extended Michael Carter. The real Michael Carter. Yeah.
That's something to obviously play in here. But this type of game, to me, screams Deebo Samuel, because Deebo Samuel is the motion guy. Obviously love the care that he's taken to be faster this year. He has worked all offseason long with Brock Purdy. I think Ayuk gets to kind of almost play a little bit of a decoy role, not saying he will, but I think they are going to get the ball in Debo's hands a lot early on. Run, screen pass, slant, yak. That's the way they're going to want to play this against a tough defense. And he's not going to, it could change. I don't believe he's going to be shadowed by Sauce because he's going to be moving around. So I love Debo this week, but you tell me to kick rocks because you got him a spot higher at top 15. I think this is a great touchdown bet. I think it's tough to gauge where the stuff comes from. It's like he could have four catches, but then he could have eight runs. You know, you just don't know. But I do think Debo is going to have a really solid week. And I believe you and I have to pull up wide receiver. I want to say we are higher than consensus on Debo. Debo is 17 this week. So we are both higher.
And by the way, just looking at 23 cornerback ratings, Sauce was third. DJ Reed was 16. And Michael Carter, the slot guy, was 12. So every corner for this team was pretty solid last season. I think, Ayuk is your deep threat, dangerous on the outside. It's where Sauce plays his best. Leave him there, right? So that's why I'm not high on Ayuk at all this week. But I think you're completely right about Debo, too. It's like, we just saw Mitchell go down for the year. Mason is the backup now, which is great. But against a team like this that has such speed on defense, you got to run short routes. You got to put the ball in your playmaker's hands and let him go. So I think we're going to see a couple like wide receiver reverses for Debo. We're going to see him in the backfield. There's going to be short passes for him. I'm high on Debo this week.
Yep. A lot of usage. I would be shocked if he has less than 10 touches in this game between running and I maybe even throw in targets, but we'll see where that goes. But I think there's going to be some volume from Debo. So we both have got him in there. Interesting. I'm a little bit lower on Drake London against your Pittsburgh Steelers. You've got him right after Debo at 16. Anything you want to mention about London versus your Steelers?
Pitts is down. I think he's going to get flooded with targets. So
are they going to allow that though?
Joey Porter Jr. is not the best matchup, but he will draw pass interference. Like he's good, but Drake can beat him with size. I feel like, so I'm just like middling on Drake. I don't feel great about him, but I'm not going to bury him for JPJ.
Malik Nabers, I've got him at 19. You've got him at 20. His ECR is 21. We're right in that territory. Malik's going to eat, but what does it look like? That's always the big major question. I saw a tweet where the Giants wide receiver, or no, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was a Giants wide receiver. And they said they set up the football, the machine. I forget what it's called. The machine.
Jugs.
The jugs. They set up the jug machine for the wide receivers to throw like Daniel Jones. And then the first pass fell 5 feet in front of the wide receiver.
I think it's going to be a duck.
Same. Yeah, exactly. So that's the question about Malik Nabers is what is it going to look like? How empty can it be? Will he get open? Like all of those questions are out there that I just don't know how much I can entertain because he is the guy, as you've said over and over and over. I would be surprised with less than eight targets.
Terrible.
Yeah, bad corners. I'd be surprised.
Myron Murphy's the best guy. That's who's going to be on Malik. I love him for IDP. You know why, Welsh?
Why?
Because he lets the guy catch the ball in front of him and then tackles him every single time. So Malik's going to have a ton of catches.
When you look at your 20 rank, you feel uncomfortable about that with Nabers? Like, give me a realistic what you think game one, Daniel Jones against the Vikings. Like, where do you think Nabers could really go?
As how high?
Like this week. Yeah. Like, be realistic, kind of realistic.
He could be a wide receiver one. If he gets in the end zone twice, he could be a wide receiver one. If he gets 10 catches, he's a wide receiver one, right? Like, I think that's all in the realm of possibility, especially in a bad matchup. And the Vikings are favored in this game. No one's favoring the Giants yet. So
give me a realistic line for Nabers this week. Don't put a touchdown on it because he's not going to score.
7 for 70.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
In this league.
Break it down.
7 for 70. Okay, so yeah. Full PPR, 14 points. It's probably ish, maybe a little bit lower. You would end up, 14 would probably get you in that like mid RB2 range. So I guess that's like the solid realist one. By the way, 5.5 receptions over plus 125 on DraftKings. So if you believe that 7 for 7, get it, baby.
The Vikings have a bad secondary. They're down their starting quarterback, and they're still 1.5 favored on the road against the Giants.
Okay, I'm with it. This is a opposite one that we've got. Moving into this, I guess these are both wide receivers. These are like the wide receiver threes. I've decided I am pro team Tank Dell this week. I have Tank at 28. You've got him at 32, and his ECR is 32. The inverse of that is I am going to make Stephon Diggs suffer. There was some questions in the other show I did about what Nico Collins is going to look like this week. They can't all be great, and there has to be something. And one of the, no, they can all be good, but they can't all be top three wide receivers every single week. So, I mean, can you, do you legitimately think you can, in week one, Nico can be a top 12 wide receiver, Stephon Diggs can be a top 20, and Tank Dell could be a top 30?
Yeah, I do.
I don't.
CJ Stroud.
I mean, CJ Stroud is special. I
put Stephon Diggs. Sucks.
It does suck.
If the Colts are scoring, right, that's the big thing here, is how good is this Texans defense? How do they limit the Colts offense? Because that is going to set the pace for what Houston does in the second half. This game is going point for point. They could all be amazing, right? If it's a high scoring game, I kind of feel like that's the way it might go with the Colts having, you know, obviously you're down Josh Downs, but you have Adonai Mitchell. Now you get Richardson back and healthy, Taylor back and healthy. Like, you have your almost your full complement here for the Colts, and the Texans obviously have a great offense. And you know, their defense, I think, can be really good. I just don't know how great it's going to be week one. So we'll see. There's potential for back and forth in this game.
You've got Diggs at 26 and Dell at 32. I have Dell at 28 and Diggs down at 36. Interesting thing, the fantasy sports data on their suite just released a new the stat. I think I mentioned earlier the separation grade. And Tank Dell number one in the NFL as far as separation goes. CJ Stroud's going to hit him. It's going to hit him early. It's going to be a big play. I'm team Tank Dell this week, coming right out the gates. And Stephon Diggs will be in CJ Stroud's ear screaming and complaining and maybe requesting a trade because he doesn't have more than six catches. So that's my take on it for this week. But it's a little bit, there's definitely inherent risk in it because Stephon Diggs is also an absolute target monster. And all three of these guys are so good. They're going to put themselves into great situations. They will help themselves. It's just like, where will the ball go? It's just Stroud loves Dell.
Dalton Schultz catches a touchdown. That's what I want.
Because you're not going to make the move off of there. Is there anybody else in this wide receiver three range that's important to you? I thought you might have Terry McLaurin a little bit higher. I thought you might have Pickens a little bit higher. I'm higher than both of them than you. Yeah. But is there anybody in this range that's important?
I don't like the AJ Terrell matchup for Pickens. McLaurin is fine. Like I said, though, I want to see what this offense looks like, and really the offensive line for Washington before I have an enormous amount of confidence. Like, I think that they'll get that side figured out. You have to, right? But I don't know if it's week one, so we'll see. So I don't think there's anyone super important here. There's a lot of really good value.
Just the wide receiver three. Yeah, because I want to get to before we jump to that, because I actually want to get your take on this, because this is a guy outside of the top 36 is where we'll put a focus in here. We're going to talk about the Bills here in a second. I like Tank Dell. I'm in a pro Jameson Williams world, I think I'm starting to live in. And I put him at 44, and I feel like it's not high enough. He's at 48. You've got him at 48. You have him at consensus going up against the Rams. We've already talked about this. You know, this is a bit of a gun show. It's not going to just be Amon-Ra. It's not going to be just LaPorta, which, by the way, is important to understand in not going nuts with him, that he is the fourth target on this team. But when they are stretching the field, he is the big play option. He is obvious. They asked him, what are your goals this year? Oh, I lead the league in yards and touchdowns. Okay, yeah, sure you do. I'm sure that's going to happen. But I'm really in on Jameson Williams, and I'm getting him in some starting lineups, as a matter of fact. But he's in this weird glob of, like, you know, Deontay Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins playing this week, a couple of the rookies, Adunze, Brian Thomas. There's just a part of me that feels like Williams's upside should be respected in the same Xavier Worthy mold, which would be as a top 36 wide receiver. I'm saying this, you're not necessarily really in on him, your consensus. I want to keep pushing him higher. What's your take on Jameson Williams?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
I think I just didn't move him, to be honest with you. So that's probably why I have him just straight at consensus. My thing is, how many passes is he going to catch? That's my question. Right. Because if the Lions get up on the Rams, you're going to run David Montgomery a bunch. Right. You're not. Gibbs is, you know, not 100%. I think he said he's 98% or whatever he is. So he's high. But I think Montgomery gets a lot of run late. I just don't know. Is it more than four catches? What's it? Do we have his prop up
his
at all?
Projection?
Yeah. Yeah. What's his projection? Because I'm guessing his projection is like 4 for 48. Something like that, which would, you know, it's not terrible. It's not empty.
You're
but
not,
it's not
wrong. You're not off. Great. It's 44 yards, but it's actually like three catches. That's the PFF. That's the PFF right. projection.
Right.
I believe it's a higher receiving total on DK. Well, maybe something we'll hit on.
And he could get all of that in one catch. That's the thing. It's just he's so boom or bust. I don't know. This is a great game to boom because the secondary for the Rams sucks. Right. So he could do it. I don't know. I might move him up before the end of the week, but I think he'll still have him in that wide receiver four range.
The Bills situation is wildly weird. You brought up this really well. I want you to say your point after this. Sure. I don't want to steal it. That's
not even look my at, point. But yeah.
Well, it's a good point that you picked. So I want to give you credit for it. But you've got Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, and Curtis Samuel. By the way, the news Curtis Samuel practice looks like he's going to play. These are all tough, but to point out, the highest Bills wide receiver is 49, which is going to lead. Let's hear the point that you had that really has stuck in my brain as we're going to talk about these guys.
Yeah, I can't remember who had it. It was a tweet earlier today, and I'm not seeing it. I can't remember where I saw it, but somebody said, hey, look, how are we all going to have Josh Allen at number one and none of the wide receivers above 46 or whatever it is? In ECR, and it's a great point to make. Maybe Kincaid is enormous, right? Like that is one way that we could get there. Maybe the ball is spread out a bunch or something, but someone is going to be huge here. Now, if it goes by the way they were working the wide receivers in the preseason, on the field, F the depth charts, on the field, it's going to be Hollins, Coleman, and one of Shakir or Samuel. That's how it was in the preseason. If they're scrapping that and they just wanted to get Coleman more playing time or whatever it is, then it's going to be Hollins, Shakir, and Samuel. I don't think that's the way it is. I think it's going to be an ugly Packers-style mix of wide receivers because they talked about moving Keon Coleman all over the place. Shakir and Samuel split. You know, if you're playing, you know, toss it up matchups, those are going to Coleman and Hollins. But if you're playing throw it short and get yards, that's going to the little guys. So
I want to point out what you're referencing came out today. This is a big thing. Keon Coleman was listed behind Collins on the depth chart. So the depth chart,
it's been like that for a while though, even on the unofficial.
But as the starters go, this has opened up a lot of people's eyes and he's like the number two, as far as the ranked of the wide receivers go. I think it puts in a big question, like, especially snap count. Like, I do think there's a possibility. I think the Bills can run plenty of like four wide receiver, one tight end.
Beat the crap out of the Cardinals anyway.
So. Yeah. That's, I think, another worry to have is like James Cook might eat, Josh Allen's going to run, but also pretty dangerous team. If you think about it, if you have like Hollins and Coleman on the corners and you put Shakir, Samuel, and Kincaid in the middle, it's actually not bad, but where can anybody thrive? It's the anti CJ Stroud thing where it's like, oh, top five quarterback and he's got three wide receivers. If anything,
why do you do it one way and then not the other way?
Is CJ Stroud QB 6 or 7 when he's got three wide receivers in the top 30? Why is Josh Allen QB 1 when he doesn't have a wide receiver that's in the top 45? So that's that's an interesting dynamic to it. If I had to pick, be honest with you, my gut says Curtis Samuel, and I know we have less to work with, but this was my gut in the very beginning. You remember me telling you this. Yeah. I'm like, dude, Curtis Samuel, he did this with Washington. He's a guy they like to use in short yardage, dump off passes. There's a Debo-ishness to him, get the ball in his hands. I don't know if they're going to try to spread the field. If they do, that works in favor of a guy like Keon Coleman. I think Khalil Shakir could be a 3-catch, 70-yard guy, but I think Curtis Samuel's a player that could get 5 or 6 catches and could be a target in the red zone. So I actually later like Curtis Samuel.
Later in the year, it's going to be, in my opinion, it's going to be Coleman pushing Hollins to the bench. Might be as early as this week or next week. It's not going to take long. Hollins has had a million stops in the NFL for a reason, because he is a journeyman. Keon Coleman is not. Keon Coleman's the second round pick that's going to thrive.
And I also agree with you on this. So, like, I think Keon Coleman is still a safe bet. The pre-warning, don't drop him. If he doesn't
drop Coleman.
Do not do that. Don't go chasing waterfalls.
If he gets 0 snaps, feel free to drop him. I don't know how that happens, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would even do that in the first week. Last thing, any other deep wide receiver out of the flex? So, like, top 36 is our wide receiver 1 through 3. And then we go to, if I can do math, to 48 is your flex. So outside of your flex, is there anybody that kind of jumps out to you 49 and below?
I like Ladd. I like Josh Palmer. Wicks, I think, is solid, especially, the Chargers guys with DJ Chark potentially being out. I think Polk will get run in New England, although that's going to be ugly there. So Mooney could have, the Steelers second, the corners are really bad after JPJ. So Mooney could have a nice week too.
Wicks, I'd like as well with Romeo Doubs getting banged up. He would just kind of jump in and take that role. And then, as I mentioned, Curtis Samuel is someone that I would try to get in there. All right, final up, let's talk about the tight ends. Let's also talk about the controversy. I know you probably haven't seen this. It's a popping up today. FFPC is involved in it. CBS is involved in it. Everybody is involved in it. And it
Taysom
goes by Taysom Hill, because there were a couple platforms that decided, and I'm a part of one of the FFPCs, and one of them, I thought I was going to be super sneaky and take Taysom Hill, but he qualified at quarterback. It was pointed out that a year or two ago, he was a tight end, and then 3 days before the season, he was listed on the depth chart as a quarterback, and they switched it. And now a lot of people are looking and saying, what's going to happen? Because he is listed as a tight end on the depth chart. We haven't heard from FFPC, but CBS dropped a note today. CBS Football, they had him listed as a quarterback, and due to this, they changed his position at a tight end. Got to tell you, don't love it. Bad precedent. And I know these sites, a lot of them, they usually say the same thing. It's who we get our stats, our stat provider. You got to have foresight in it. Like, I think it's a bad look where someone was able to just take him as a quarterback and now has him as a tight end. That's a game changer. And maybe they had the foresight for it. He should have always been listed as a quarterback / tight end. There's just nothing about it.
I don't think so. I think they should have taken the quarterback thing away from him last year. So I don't know. It sucks for Taysom Hill, but I don't think this is going to change the way Taysom Hill is going to be used. And you wanted him for getting those QB snaps for the tight end spot anyway, not the other way around. It does suck that you drafted this whole offseason and thought, okay, super.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it sucks for Hill. Whatever. It sucks for us or anyone who wanted him as a tight end that couldn't because he was a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. I think wait a minute. Are you saying that they just took his quarterback stuff?
No, what I'm telling you, in FFPC, he was a quarterback only. Only. You couldn't take him as a tight end. And now the discussion is, now that he's listed by
I thought you were saying he just lost quarterback eligibility.
But who cares? No one's starting him as a quarterback.
Well, that's what I was saying.
The positive, it was if you got the quarterback / tight end value, you wanted him as a tight end. But there are multiple platforms that would not list him as a tight end. And now CBS just said they are changing it. So every person that took him before, they just got a tight end Taysom Hill. And the question has been, what will the FFPC, and I think NFPC, like, what will those guys do now? And that's pretty critical because there's a lot of money involved. And I would have taken him, but I didn't take him.
Can't screw with NFPC, I think.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, fellas, here's how it works. $15 for it.
In this league.
What's
in this league?
If you have to ask, big man.
You can't afford it.
That's $4.
Especially, okay. Pitt's questionable. I have him at 7. I haven't moved him down yet. That happened this morning. And then I can move him ahead of Evan Ingram, even though I like Evan Ingram this week, but I like Kittle more.
I have Evan Ingram one spot ahead, but I've got Kittle at 6. You have Pitts at 7. I have him at 7. I'm going to move him. I have Kincaid maybe a little bit lower. You've got Kincaid higher. And then we've got Njoku. Ferguson is both in there in the top 12. And you do have Taysom Hill as a starter, where I do not currently have him as a starter. I actually have Pat Freiermuth. So going through all of that, I will move Pitts down. I think I'm probably going to move Pitts probably below Bowers, which is going to make him be 13 on that list here. The thing with Kittle is similar to the conversation from before. Just want to point out, this is a Kittle game. Like, there is a good matchup. I'm actually going to pull up the rating here in a second, but you're going to take Ayuk out. They're going to end up throwing the ball. This is a good matchup. He actually has the 5th best matchup as far as tight ends go. He's given an offensive grade on PFF of 87.5, but a pretty good rating on defensive side of 81. That's actually one of the best by CJ Mosley, but Kittle's going to just get a whole bunch of usage. Actually, the highest yards per route run of any tight end, it looks like, in this big starting group here. But I like Kittle, and I think this is going to be just a big Kittle week, and you kind of agree.
Yeah, I do. I also kind of like Jake Ferguson this week as well. I have him at 10. I don't know what his ECR is, probably somewhere in that neighborhood as well. But, you know, we're lacking in the run game for Dallas, right? We don't know what that's going to turn out to be. They didn't go out and get a big second, option at wide receiver either. It's still Brandon Cooks and Jalen Tolbert. So I think Ferguson could have a nice week here for the Cowboys.
One other guy, I know you're going to, you might scoff a little bit, but I put Freiermuth in as a starter here.
Scoff.
I know you scoff. I think you're going to get targets from Russ Wilson. I don't think there's enough receivers out there. And also, his offensive grade isn't great, but as far as the defensive grade against who's going to be like the main-ish coverage guy, of the top, I mean, I think this is like 25 or 20 tight ends. Freiermuth has the 3rd best matchup rating. It's horrific against Atlanta right now. So from that standpoint, maybe they're playing from behind. Russ going to tight. I actually think Freiermuth is a really good tight end too this week.
Here's my problem with Freiermuth. It's because I think you should have the same logic with Freiermuth that I just had with Jake Ferguson, right? Like, who is the number 2 wide receiver?
And I have Ferguson, by the way, above Freiermuth.
It's Van Jefferson is the number 2 wide receiver right now because Calvin Austin ain't it. Roman Wilson has been hurt. So Van Jefferson is the number 2. The issue is they take Freiermuth off the field in 2 tight end sets. He's not out there. They're probably going to run a lot from 2 tight end sets. So they have Michael Pruitt and Darnell Washington out there. So there's a big grip of snaps, like 51% is what he was getting in the preseason with the starters. Not good for a starting tight end. So I'm just curious to see, does that bleed into the regular season or not? Because everything you said about Freiermuth should be correct, right? Like, he should be the second target here. Maybe not, maybe behind Warren, but Warren's a little bit nicked up going into week 1. So this should be a big Freiermuth game, but Arthur Smith is dumb and keeps him off the field. So I don't like Arthur Smith, really, is what it boils down to, which is why I'm not high on many Steelers outside of their number 1 running back this year in Najee Harris.
I think Tyler Conklin is kind of interesting. Also want to point out, we had a report, that report with Kraft being banged up could lead to a better opportunity for Musgrave. Also, if like somehow Dobbs didn't play, that would make me even feel a little bit more. If you have Kraft and Dobbs both not playing, I might move Musgrave up a little bit. I got Taysom around tight end 15 too. Is Freiermuth is kind of my dude outside of the normal top 12 that I like. I know you mentioned Dalton Schultz. You have him at 13. Is there any other tight end that you would like to play speculative this week, or is it just the core group?
Ertz a little bit. Lavonte David is old. KJ Britt is the 2nd. Linebacker there. So they're a little weak, even though I'm not the biggest Washington fan this week. Sinnott is 3rd in the depth chart. John Bates is ahead of him. So it's going to take a little bit for Sinnott to get on the field. So I like Ertz a little bit this week.
Very pro Zach Ertz. We've been in some of our best ball drafting. Friends, there you go. We're not ranking kickers and defense. Get the hell out of here. So you go do that somewhere. Go to your kicker podcast. Yep. Start the guys, play the players, the defenses. There you go. Those are our ranks. a deep in-depth look. You guys can check them out over on Fantasy Pros. We'll also post the most updated because, frankly, I do my ranks probably usually up till Thursday, and then I kind of break until Sunday morning to get the finalized, unless there's anything big. But we will do another update for Friday. We'll post those on the Patreon if you want to check that out. Coming up on Thursday, oh yes, Thursday Night Football, ITL back in action. InThisLeague.com if you want to check it out. Like I said, we have to talk about it off air. Maybe week one we'll do something fun for everybody, or we'll just say screw everybody and we'll just do it on the Patreon. But it will live on the Patreon in season. We also might be putting a big bet together. We'll be hanging out, accompanying companion podcast of Thursday Night Football. We'll have some fun with it. And Bet This League is going to be back on Friday. We will be broadcasting that for Patreon, and then it will go to the podcast feed. So if you want to get a little of an early line look before we release it on the pod on some of our stuff, and plenty of times we've done a podcast, and then, you know, when once we release it, the lines have moved a tiny bit, be a part of the Patreon. But Bet This League is back, where we'll be talking about our favorite props and our favorite picks of the week, and trying to give some just betting analysis of some of the games as well. So make sure, and it's right on this podcast feed. So if you're listening on the podcast, just keep, you know, subscribed, and you'll get that coming up on Friday. And then in season for the rest, just letting you know, on Sundays, that's, we've got some other Fantasy Pros stuff in season. I'm doing a prop show on Fantasy Pros on Friday. But if you want more, Sunday morning, I will be on the second hour. It's essentially the hour before kickoff starts. I will be on Fantasy Pros live stream answering questions. And then Bogman and I on Sunday night, before Sunday Night Football, we'll be doing a live stream on Fantasy Pros, breaking everything down, and then we'll be on the podcast. So you can get a little bit more of us, and then we're back to the regularly scheduled program. So hopefully we see you guys on Thursday Night Football. It is freaking here. I'm excited. I'm excited to bet. I'm excited to not be excited and be all pissed off. I wish baseball was back, but hopefully that's not the case. Find Bogman on Twitter, Bogman Sports. Catch me at Is It The Welsh. And friends, good luck in your week one, and we'll talk to you next time right here on In This League.
See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Can't believe what fell. All your dreams missed. Pops down the drain. Let's play some
In This League.
What's up, friends, and welcome in to Bet This League Week 1. I'm the Welsh, that is the Bogman, and we are doing all of our bets for Week 1 in the NFL. We're going to be talking about all of our full game picks. We're going to do the entire slate, talk about our records from last year. We are going to be doing our best bets on the sides, you know, so doing some spreads and some sides. Where's the money this week? And our top prop bets. All of that for Bet This League for NFL Week 1. Coming off of a Thursday, we're pretending Friday is not happening because this is dropping as the Friday game's going on, but not a good Thursday for me. Good Thursday for Bogman. Bogman on the shows. You had the likely bet. Unfortunately, we didn't put it in like crazy, but you hit Pacheco. I think Pacheco really saved you too, because that was a big bet. And you hit, I think, longest reception on Worthy. Justin Watson, one catch for me. And Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce, absolute piles of garbage.
Yeah, the Nelson Aguilar under hit as well. The only thing I really didn't get was the Travis Kelce -5.5,
which by the way was your most Bogman was like, I've never been more confident, and you nailed everything else, and it was like that one that you would have put it all on.
Well, it was ridiculous. They just didn't throw his way, and you know, Mark Andrews too, got both those guys were like bracketed and doubled a lot in that game. Both teams were like, well, look, your number one option ain't beating us today. And luckily for Kansas City, they have a new guy named Xavier Worthy. Horns up, baby. Let's go. What a great game for him. I was super excited.
Well, I'm ready to get to the big slate here, because Thursday was, Pacheco rush attempts saved it from being a disastrous day. Still wasn't good. So there's Friday going to be happening. We're not talking about that. We are talking about all the other stuff. So you guys, a couple things you can do. You guys can go over to InThisLeague.com. You can find us today on the Patreon. and you can get into the GroupMe rooms, be a part of our community, all the stuff that we're doing. We have a Bet This League room. We have a football room. We have a start and sit room. We got a whole bunch. It's like a Discord, but it's our GroupMe set. You can sign up and be a part of that, plus all the other stuff. Bogman does a lot of the football ranks and just have instant access to everything that we got going on. And we're actually live streaming this on our Patreon if anybody wants to watch it before it airs, so people can get a little jump on any of the lines. Also, what you can do is follow us on the Betting Pros app. We both work there, bettingpros.com/Welsh and most likely bettingpros.com/Bogman. There you go. So that you can see where we track our bets. We also set up a group, the Bet This League 2024 NFL is what it's called. If you look and you're exploring, I posted on the Patreon some links where you guys can just join up and you can check out what we got going on. And you can make your bets in there. We can track it and we'll talk about it on this show. Who's killing it? Who's got really great ROI? Who had great winning percentages? Probably going to put a prize to it. So again, you can search on the Betting Pros app, Bet This League NFL 2024, or I posted it on Patreon. I think I posted it on Patreon. I know I did in the GroupMe rooms, but you can come and check that out today. Have some fun with us. And then Bogman and I are also on bunch of betting pro shows. I just did the prop show betting this morning. You did your solo college bet show. So if you're looking for the betting side of what's going on, this actually encompasses everything NFL because I don't talk lines and stuff like that. But if you're looking for college, follow Bogman on the Twitter at Bogman Sports and on Betting Pros. If you're looking for specific prop stuff, I'm doing that at Is It the Welsh, and we'll post out all this stuff. Lots of betting today. Friday is for the betting. Saturday is for the college, and Sundays are for the boys. So let's get into it. And we're changing up the structure a little bit where we are going to start with props. We're going to kick off the show with props. We'll then move into telling you guys where is the money for the coming week, what our full game picks are, and then what our best bets as far as like sides and over and unders, because A, I know there's plenty of people that don't bet. B, there's also people that like to pick an area, you know, and I will tell you, I am more of a prop guy than I am full game picks, but I do lock into just a couple things. But I know that
don't say that because you crushed picks last year.
I should have bet more then. I would have killed. Yeah. When we talked to that, I did. Yeah. Actually looking at my spread, I should play that a lot more.
You killed those sides last year. You were
I meant was like, it's not what I focus like my betting on. My betting is like, I personally am like, I want to bet the props and stuff like
props
that.
Props side of fantasy. It makes sense.
Exactly right. But there are people that like their betting is about game totals. It's, you know, it's spreads, it's money lines, it's over unders and stuff like that. So this is where we're going to cover that. We'll do that at the end with our full game bets and then what our favorite